This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of Advent, hope, and peace, open our hearts to your way. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. I'm wondering if anybody would be willing, if you meet the following criteria, to raise your hand. And I just want to use you as an example. You don't have to do anything. If you're 20 years old, and you know that you, or in your 20s, let's say that, and you know that you either have a child or you want to have children, you plan on having children someday. That's the only criteria. You'd be willing to raise your hand? Any takers? Okay. Lauren, right? Is that your name? Lauren? Is that right? Yes. Okay, so Lauren, we're going to fast forward 60 years. All right, so you pretend that you are in your 80s right now, okay? And you have not only, you may have a couple children, I don't know how many, but you have a granddaughter who's in college. And she comes to you, and she has a project that she has to do for school, and that is to interview an elderly person, and that would be you. And the interview has to include what was going on 60 years before, so 2012, and it also has to include what the political situation was like and the religious situation and a word of inspiration, something that inspired you in 2012. I'm not going to ask you to come up with that. So that's the scene, right? All right, so we're 60 years in advance. So your story might start out something like this. In the year 2012... when Barack Obama was in his second term as President of the United States, and Rick Scott was governor of Florida, and Woodrow Hay was the mayor of Boynton Beach, so you would know all this stuff. I had to look it up. The mayor, at least. And Bishop Friday, Bishop Leo Friday, was the third bishop of the Diocese of Southeast Florida. And I was attending St. Joseph's Episcopal Church Unplugged service. This amazing, inspirational story was told to me one day. So you have to wait for the inspirational story. But she would set it up like that, right? Thank you, Lauren. That's all you have to do. She would set it up like that. And that is exactly what Luke is doing in the gospel today. He had this young friend named Theophilus, and he wrote the whole Gospel of Luke to this young friend. And so he set it up by saying all those names that we heard in the beginning of the Gospel. But it was important that he did that, not only to set up what the political and religious structure was like, but to let people know that what he was about to tell them actually happened. There was a point in history when something amazing happened. And then we get introduced to this wild man, John. Now, John the Baptist is the guy that we hear about in the second part of the gospel, and he was out in the wilderness. And what we have to understand about John is that John was the son of a priest. He was the son of a priest in the temple named Zechariah. And he could have had quite a life, but he turned to God and went off in the wilderness, and other gospels tell us that he wore camel's hair and a leather belt, and he ate locusts and honey. So this guy was radical. I mean, he was really wild and out there. And he started to proclaim the baptism of the repentant, of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that's a mouthful. We'll get into that in a second. But he began to proclaim this and to prepare the way of the Lord. To prepare the way of the Lord. Make the road straight. So there's no valleys and no hills, and that everything will be straight for the coming of Christ. And he just cries out, and people listen. People listen. Now remember, he's in the wilderness. And I think I can speak for all of us. There's times in our lives where we feel like we are in the wilderness too, right? Don't we? I have three examples that might really bring this home about voices crying out in the wilderness. And the first one is a voice crying out in the wilderness of poverty and greed. And it comes from the Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. And Tiny Tim, if you know the story, is this the crippled boy. He is the great-nephew of the grand-nephew of old Scrooge, who's the miser, the rich old mean guy who won't share any money. And the parents love Tiny Tim so much, they know that they could have him be treated for his illness if they only had enough money. But they don't, and Scrooge isn't going to give them any. Well, one day, Tiny Tim and his dad go to church, and when they come home, the mom says this to the dad. And how did little Tim behave? And the father says, as good as gold, and better. Somehow, he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much, and he thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in the church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. And he says that. He's this voice crying out in the wilderness of poverty and greed, proclaiming the way of the Lord, and that everything's going to be made smooth for him. And it is. Because old Scrooge has a change of heart. He's visited, right, in his dreams by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and he becomes, miraculously, a kind and loving and generous uncle. And because he repented, he rethought, he changed his mind toward love, which is what John the Baptist is proclaiming, declaring the Lord, he not only saved Tiny Tim's life, but he saved his own. He saved his own. And Tiny Tim says, God bless us, everyone. The second story is a little trickier to tell, and I have a disclaimer before I tell it, and it comes from the sneaky little dark pockets and corners of pop culture. Now, I watch television like everybody. You know, I've got my favorite shows that I watch. But there are, we have to admit, some shows that are really, really bad. Really bad. And there's a show and this story that came out last week. Maybe you heard it. This guy on 2 1/2 Men is named Angus T. Jones. And if you don't know the show, my disclaimer is that I've never seen the show. So if the producer's here, I'm not bad-mouthing the show. The show is about these two men who are raising a teenager, and hence the half. So Angus T. Jones plays the teenager that's being raised by these two men. Well, last week of November, the Huffington Post reports that Jones said, and I quote, "If you watch 2 1/2 Men, please stop watching. I'm on 2 1/2 Men, and I don't want to be on it. Please stop watching it. Please stop filling your head with filth." I mean, this is unusual. Maybe, just maybe, in this man crying out, and the story went on that he was crying out because he felt that the show degraded women and trivialized sex as just this plaything. And because he had the courage to step out and say this, and again, I don't know the show, perhaps, just perhaps, he's a voice crying out in the wilderness that we also need to listen to change our hearts. The third example is the clearest and the best one. Many of you know Wanda Brady, And Charles and I are very good friends with her. And I spoke to Wanda. And she, I asked permission if I could use part of an email that she wrote to our prayer group, our women's prayer group here in the church, which is called the Daughters of the King. They pray every day for people who are requesting it. She wrote to them a beautiful, beautiful email that is a voice crying out in the wilderness of fighting cancer. Listen to this. She's an amazing, amazing person. And I'm convinced this is the word of God. She's had cancer. It's come and gone and come and gone, and she's battled it with chemo and radiation and chemo and radiation, and then it goes away and it comes back. Recently, it had come back, and she was under chemo and radiation again. And to make matters worse, she fell and broke her shoulder. Still, she remained positive and inspirational, still. And then she wrote this just the other day, and I quote, "Good news. Last PET scan showed all previous things gone. And through these horrible chemo experiences, something did work towards eliminating the areas of suspicion. The doctors all agree to stop chemo now and just get a scan every 2 to 3 months to keep watch should something pop up. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, everyone." But she doesn't stop there. She goes on and she thanks everybody for the powerful prayers, says a few more personal things, and then she says, and I quote, "Let's continue to pray for everyone's healing and no more cancer. And if you have an issue with someone this holiday, let it go and forgive. We have so many more important fish to fry and love to give. Merry Christmas, and I love you all. God bless, Wandu," as she's known. End quote. And if you have an issue with someone this holiday, let it go and forgive. She is a voice crying out in the wilderness of the despair that we all go through sometimes. And we hold on to those grievances because we don't know how else to express the hard things we're going through. We're frequently not upset for the reason we think we are. We take it out on one another. I know I do sometimes. Powerful, powerful words of inspiration out of the wilderness. And these voices crying out in the wilderness of our lives, if we'll have ears to hear, are everywhere. And we ask God to turn up the volume on that. Advent is a time of realizing and preparing our hearts for exactly that, to repent, to admit when we are doing wrong, and to forgive others when they wrong us, and to let it go. In 12-step speak, it's making amends, admitting to another person, right? And then making amends. Powerful, inspirational thoughts. In closing, I just have to add that our God is an awesome, amazing God and always forgiving us. This is what happened on the cross. We're already forgiven, already. But we have to do our part. We have to be willing to open that door, to walk in and say yes to change and growth. Richard Rohr writes this: "If we aren't growing, changing, calling ourselves into question, being willing to go to new levels of consciousness, we won't sustain love for very long. In fact, we won't have genuine love at all." End quote. So this Advent, let's open that door to our own transformation. And in the words of Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone. Amen.